I've been in the Lord's work 51 years. Can you imagine? Somebody's supposed to look shocked when I say I've been preaching 51 years. But I don't see any shocked faces. And I've learned something. I've learned that the church is a family. As a matter of fact, the Bible calls it the family of God in heaven and earth. Many of the family members are on earth. And many of the family members, most of them, are already in heaven through the centuries. And family members can encourage one another. And we want to encourage you. We truly do. Earl Wells, as they've already said, was an encouraging man. And they had their own way about getting it done, but they got it done. He and Shirley got it done. And there are people here in this audience who love them dearly and deeply because they were shown love by the Wells. My wife and I were brought together in unusual circumstances. My father and mother couldn't get along. Finally, they got a divorce. My wife's father was killed in an automobile accident when she was 5 years old. He was a Baptist preacher. My father was a professional gambler. Quite a difference. I lived in 19 different places before I was in the third grade and wound up in Maryville, Tennessee in the third grade. And it seemed to suit us, Maryville, Tennessee. And it wasn't long before people in Maryville tried to get us in Sunday school. And we met good, godly people who were encouraging us. When I got to the ninth grade in high school, I met Evelyn Rogers, and she would not have been there had not she gone through the circumstances she went through in life. And the Lord brought the two of us together. And now we've been married over half a century. God has His way of getting things done, doesn't He? And we praise Him for it. And we need to see the Lord's hand in this. Honestly, we do. The Lord's attitude toward the death of His children is different from our attitude toward death. The Lord's attitude is it's a blessed thing. I wouldn't want Earl to be lingering in a hospital room, suffering like he was suffering, hurting like he was hurting, incapacitated in so many ways like he was incapacitated, and then with Shirley, with commitment, heart deep to take care of him, I'm wondering how in the world that was going to happen. And so, I'm a very frank speaking person. I believe it was the mercy of God to take him to heaven. But we must prepare our hearts for it. I talked to Joseph. Joseph having a very hard time struggling. And I said, Joseph, let's think about the Lord and what the Lord did. And think how great God is. And God allowed all this. And it's all a part of the family of God. Did you know that every person who lives is going to live as long as every other person who ever lived? Once you're conceived, you're going to live forever, either with the Lord in heaven or without the Lord in hell. Because we were created for eternity. The 90th Psalm says, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth or ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. In other words, when we get here, God's already here. He had no beginning, has no ending. And we find our place with the Lord. The psalm goes on, this psalm of Moses, the oldest of the psalms. Thou turnest men to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. There is a sleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up in the morning. It flourisheth and groweth up in the evening. It is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days have passed away. In thy wrath we spend our years as a tale that is told. We each live our own story. Earl has lived his story on earth. We're living ours. It has a beginning on earth. We can mark it with a birth date. Most often, we can identify it with parents. We can connect it with places on earth where we grew up and how we met others that we learned to love. And the Bible says, the days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength there be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. That's what the Bible says in this 90th Psalm. Earl reached 80 years, but it still seems like soon cut off and flying away. The oldest people I've dealt with in a half a century and more of ministry have always emphasized to me, you just can't realize how fast life passes. Even Billy Graham, at nearly 100 years old, said, the most distinguishing thing about life is its brevity. And we have memories. Memories of childhood, memories of youth, memories of meeting and falling in love, memories of establishing a family, memories of children and their exploits, wonderful memories, precious things we can cling to. And they are ours forever. And we praise God for it. But while we're here on this earth, this psalm concludes this way. O, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us. Those didn't seem like such good days. But show us God's purpose in it. That's what he's talking about. And the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. Have your children learned anything about your mom and daddy? Sure you have. You've learned special lessons. Perhaps the greatest is, now he's gone, but you know where he is. He didn't leave any doubt about that, did he? And the Bible says, let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. In other words, we're not here in vain. Every life has purpose and meaning. It's precious to God and often to many other people. People are missed when they're gone. They're not forgotten because of the lives they affect for good and for God. I understand that Earl was a Coast Guard man. And this flag-draped coffin is meaningful to every flag-waving, red-blooded American. And there's a patriotic beat in all of our hearts who love God, love our country. That's significant. His life was filled with significance. And the two of you. Now, I have my own ideas about your marriage. I'm married to a strong woman, a spirited woman, who tries to speak appropriately, saying the right things in the right places. But I've never had to doubt in half a century what she was thinking, what she wanted, and what she thought about anything. I've got a sneaking suspicion that Earl was married for 56 years to the same type of woman. I may be wrong, but the boys are saying I'm not. But God put you together. And you've had a wonderful journey. And you're going to see him again in heaven. We're getting ready to meet God here. It's inevitable We're going to meet Him. It is absolutely something we cannot stop. In the book of Amos, there's a famous passage. As a boy, I used to see a part of it on the highways. It's found in the 4th chapter. And God is warning Israel. He says, I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword, and have taken away your horses. I have made the stench of your camps to come up under your nostrils. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. And ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel. And because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God. You remember that? Have you ever saw that on the road somewhere? Somebody took that as a task to put it on our highways, especially before the interstate highways were built. In the old days, you'd be driving down one of these roads and you'd see a big concrete sign engraved in the concrete, prepare to meet thy God. A warning. All of life is meant to be spent preparing to meet our God. I believe that Ur was prepared. I don't believe he trembled with fear. He knew where he was going when he left here. It was shocking to hear that he had gone from this world in that moment. It seemed early to get the news early that morning and to see you there and his body lying in the room. But it's what God allowed. And frankly, both of us would rather have seen that than him lingering for weeks or months in an illness that could not be cured, suffering in such a way that no pain remover could take it away. God is merciful and good, isn't he? When the friend of Jesus died, Jesus came to Bethany, and one of the sisters of Lazarus especially was very upset about it. I can just imagine her tone. She actually said to Jesus, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. Can you imagine an upset woman talking like that to the Lord? And so Jesus began to speak to her. And he said, as Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection, the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she said, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And so in our perspective, we think Earl died that morning. But from God's perspective, he said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. He passed from one world to the other. He's with the Lord. In this wonderful passage we read a lot in John chapter 14, the Lord said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also. Where is Earl? Where is Earl? He's not sitting back there in his familiar seat. Joseph's back there. He's brokenhearted because Earl's not sitting back there. And Shirley back. Shirley be back there. Where is Earl? I say to you, Joseph, where is Earl? Wherever Jesus is, that's where he is. Now, would you want to take him back from Jesus? No. Jesus went on to say, because I live, you shall live also. We'll see Him again. There's no doubt about it. That's what God said to us. Isn't that wonderful? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this, meaning this tabernacle, we groan. We groan. There's a world of hurt in that, isn't there? My mother-in-law is 96 years old. She has a terrible case of arthritis. I mean, everywhere. I try to get a little sympathy. I've had arthritis for 30 years. But when I got a 96-year-old mother-in-law living in the house with me, and she's got a bad case of arthritis, I can hardly get any sympathy. Did you know I could walk without the cane? But I dare not do it because I don't get any sympathy if I don't have that cane. We're groaning people. We groan here, don't we? All of us groan. If you're not groaning yet, if you live long enough, you will be groaning. In this body, in this tabernacle, in this house, we groan. Earnestly desire to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. That's what we're looking for. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. There's more to it than this world, isn't there? Isn't there more to it than this world? He's already found that out. He believed it before he left here, but he's really found it out now. Now, he that wrought us for the self-same thing, in other words, that's what God created us for. Every time I read that, I think about what Adam and Eve suffered in the garden and sin entered in the bloodstream of all humanity. And God barred them, would not let them come back in and eat of the tree of life. Meaning to us that God did not want them to live in that sinful state. He meant death as a part of the plan to get us out of here into something better. He says, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Being confident, we are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body. Finish it, would you? And to be present with the Lord. No wonder God says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, and as is appointed to men, and as it is appointed unto men, once to die, and then the judgment. He kept his appointment. Just as surely as a doctor's appointment, a health appointment, any kind of appointment. And look, beloved, every person listening to the sound of my voice has an appointment. You can't escape it. You might think you could postpone it. But read in the book of Job, we don't even postpone it. We have boundaries beyond which we cannot cross. The Bible says, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continues not. And doth thou open thine eyes upon such an one and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. God says we have bounds and that's it. Here we have bounds. That's it. He reached his boundary. His appointed day. I'm going to reach mine if the Lord doesn't come soon to catch us up in the air. And you're going to reach yours. Let me ask you a question. Are you genuinely prepared to meet God? It's inevitable. Are you prepared to meet God? Have you asked God to forgive you as a sinner? You can't take care of that any other way. Jesus paid that debt. You don't have to pay it. He died for our sins, was buried, and rose from the dead. Have you come to God as a helpless sinner and declared to the Lord, I can't get to heaven without you. I cannot be a new creature without you. I cannot please you without you. And open your heart and said, God, forgive my sin. Come into my life and be my Savior. And help me live for you from this day forward. The only way in the world I can stand here and talk about Earl Wells this way is because he did that. It didn't make him absolutely perfect, but it made him perfect in God's eyes because he had Jesus' record. And when it came to the door of heaven, and he came there, the gate opened and he came in. Not on his record, but on Christ's record, whose record he had, because he humbled himself and sought the Lord for salvation. And that's how any of us will get in. And without that, we won't get in. I'm not trying to pick on you, but this may be the only time in your life someone will tell you the absolute truth about how to get ready to meet God. Let's bow in prayer together, maybe.